Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's shiur at the top line of Daf Kuf Mem, in the middle. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Hachonas Chardol Sheloshoi Me'erev Shabbos, the preparation of Chardol that was needed on Friday. We're going to discuss a certain type of food called Chardol, which is sometimes translated as mustard. And it starts off as a seed, a very fine, a powdery type seed, and in this case it was kneaded, avodah, the malach of Lisha, something forbidden to do on Shabbos, so the kneading was done Erev Shabbos. What is allowed to be done in the continuation of the preparation on Shabbos? So the Gemara, Itmar Chardol Sheloshoi Me'erev Shabbos. The charol that was kneaded on Friday, lemochar, on Shabbos, lemochar means the next day, on Shabbos, Omar Rav. Notice we have a number one over Rav. He represents the first of a couple of opinions that we'll see. Rav says, memachoi bekli avolo b'yad. Memacho is to have it soften, we'll say. Rashi has a French word for memacho, and it's lahashros, which means to allow it to soak in water or wine. So this is done. The word memacho in other contexts would mean to soften it. So it's this process of memacho is done with a vessel and not by hand. Omar le Shmuel. Shmuel reacts to Rav, and by the way, by Rav saying do it with a vessel and not by hand, it sounds like doing it with a vessel is a shinui, is something unusual, is different. So Shmuel says, Biyad, what is the problem with doing it by hand? Otu kol yoimo memacho le Biyad, is the chardol prepared usually every day by hand, and a vessel would be considered the shinui, the unusual way. Maichol chamorim, who is this some kind of donkey food? Elo Omar Shmuel. Rather, Shmuel says, memacho b'yad, one on Shabbos should prepare it by hand. That represents the shinui, the unusual way, which is what we want you to do on Shabbos. We don't want you to do it the regular weekday method. So Shmuel says, do it by hand, ve'eno memacho b'kli, and not with a vessel. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a double underline highlighting the names Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. There are going to be many more names that come up in the Sukkia, but you'll see why later as the Gemara goes on, why it's important for us to emphasize these names marking-wise. More opinions on this very same topic. So, Itmar Rabbi Elazar Omer, Echod Zeh Ve'echod Zeh Oser. Rabbi Elazar takes a very strict approach. Not by hand nor by kli is memacho allowed. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Echod Zeh Ve'echod Zeh Muter. A much more lenient opinion. Both methods are allowed. We continue with more opinions. Abaye v'Rava, the Amri Shavayu, they both say, Ein halocha ke Rabbi Yochanan. The halocha will not follow Rabbi Yochanan, who was very lenient. Kom Rabbi Yochanan, b'shitzei de Rabbi Elazar. And then the Gemara points out that Rabbi Yochanan switched and backed out of his opinion and held, like Rebbe Elazar, to be machmir, namely zeves ha'osir, the dissolving, the memacho, the dissolving process is with the adding of water or wine is to be done, is not to be done at all, according to this now change of opinion. Kom Rebbe Elazar b'shitze de Shmuel, and Rebbe Elazar backs out and accepts Shmuel's approach. And his approach was biyad v'lo b'kli. And our hope is that the markings help you navigate, in addition to that which we've written between lines, to quickly see the names referred to above. Abaye v'rova, the Amri Travayu, halocha k'Reb Yochanan. They rule that the halocha is like Reb Yochanan, that is strict. And you'll notice before, we had Abaye and Rava saying that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan in that version of things. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yochanan who was very lenient. Abai and Rava here are saying like the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan who is strict. So you see that a certain level of consistency with regard to the presentation of Abaye and Rava. In both stages of Gemara, they, Abai and Rava, are ruling in a stringent fashion. The Gemara continues, Ime da Abaye. The Ime is the woman who raised Abaye, who, when he was born, his mother died. So this is, we'll call, the foster mother, or the nanny, that raised Abaye. Ime da Abaye, ofta le velo ochal. She prepared the chardol for him, and he did not consume it, because you can see that Abaye himself ruled that you're not allowed to finish the preparation of the chardol on Shabbos, not by hand nor by kli. Devisu dezeira ofdo le Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi velo ochil. The Devisu was the wife of Zeira, made this for Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, and Rabbi Chiya did not eat from it. Omro le, she said to Reb Chiya, L'raboch avidi leve ochal, I make it for your rabbi, and he eats from it. V'at lo achlis, and you aren't going to eat from it? Oma Rovo bar Shvo, have ko'imno kamei de Ravina. Rovo bar Shvo tells us, I was standing in the presence of Ravina. Ubachshi le b'shufso de tuma v'ochal. And he stirred it, the chardol, with the shufsa de tuma. Tuma is translated as shum, and shum is translated as garlic. The shufsa is the middle section of a garlic cluster. The middle section is a type of has this type of reed appearance to it. It's a type of stick, if you will. So he used this, the middle section of the garlic, for stirring the chardol, and Ravino ate from it. Omar Mor Zutra, Les Hilchos HaKochol HaNishmaitza, the halacha will not follow all of the teachings we've had till now. And we also want to point out, marking-wise, that as we start Mor Zutra, he is going to be speaking for a number of lines. We're calling this a long point, as you can see illustrated to the immediate right-hand side of the text. So he says the halacha is not like that which we've learned already, Elo Ki Hodi Itmar, but rather like the following. Chardol. Now the triangles are introduced under our Mivneh heading on the side. These are Ma'acholim She'ovru Shlovei Hachon of Erev Shabbos, different foods, and Chardol is the first. Then that's what the tie-in to this section is to what to that which we just got finished discussing. The Chardol and Shachlayim and Shum, different foods that went through certain preparatory stages be'erev Shabbos. That's Shlovei Hachona. Shlovim are stages. Shlovei Hachona be'erev Shabbos. Eze Hemshech Hachona Mutar b'Shabbos. What continuous stages or procedures are allowed to be done with regard to these foods on Shabbos? So Mar Zutra is telling us that the halacha will not follow what we had above, but rather Chardo Shalosha be'erev Shabbos. Lamochar, mechor, on next day on Shabbos itself, memacho, bein biyad bein bikli, you are allowed to dissolve it using hand or vessel. V'noisim l'sefer dvash, and you can add to it honey. V'lo yitrof elo ma'arev, You're not allowed to yitrof. That's a hard, rapid type of beating, the way you would, let's say, beat up eggs. So it's a forceful type of beating. So that's not allowed, ela ma'ariv, but mixing is allowed. That's the main point as far as this section is concerned, the tie-in to that which we had above. In other words, this is Marzutra's ruling regarding the chardal preparation. He continues, though, other foods, shachlayim, sheshochak on merav Shabbos, the shachlayim food item. Rashi uses a Hebrew word, kreshin, that were ground up erev Shabbos. L'mocher noisin l'soichon shemen, the chometz that on Shabbos day you can add to it oil and vinegar. U'mamshich l'soichon amisa, and mamshich means and put into it, add to it another vegetable substance called amisa, type of. Rashi uses a French word that sounds very much like the English word mint. You can add mint to it. The lo yitrof el amarev, and like we said before, do not do a hard, rapid stirring, but rather a more gradual mixing. Shum shurisko merav Shabbos, garlic that was ground up from Friday. L'mochor noisein l'soichoi pul grisin, the next day you can add these different types of vegetations. Pul and grisin are, we'll call them, legumes of some kind. V'lo yishchoik, and don't crush them. Ela ma'arev, but you can stir them. U'mamshich es amisa l'sochen, and add to it the mint. My amisa, what the Gemara asks, what is amisa, even though we already translated it. So the Gemara gives an Aramaic word that was known to the Gemara, ninya. And as we said before, Rashi uses the French word, and the French word matches the English word mint. Omar Abai, Shmami no hai ninya, mali letachli. From this discussion, we see that ninya, the amito or the mint, is good to add to tachli. Tachli is shachlayim. That was the second triangled case here. And in that discussion, amita was mentioned. The oisin anemolin b'shabbos. When we learned the Mishnah in our previous year, we didn't attempt to explain anemolin, taking our cues from Rashi that it would be dealt with by the Gemara. So our topic heading for this section, in fact, is anemolin. Tonu rabonin. Oisin anemolin b'shabbos vein oisin alontis. One is allowed to prepare anemolim, but not alontis. V'ezu hi anemolim v'ezu alontis. What are these things? Answer, anemolim is yayin udvash upilin. It's a mixture of wine, honey, and pepper. Pepper as in the form of peppercorns. Alontis is yayin yoshin umayim slulin v'afar simon. Alontis is made of wine, aged wine, water, and afar simon. The avdi lebe masuta lemekar. It's made for people who leave a sauna. Be masuta is a bathhouse, a sauna lemekar, for the purpose of cooling off. So that the alontis essentially is something that is not prepared as the purpose in preparing it is not as a beverage per se, but it more has this more medicinal aspect to it. So, as a result of that, Rashi is extremely careful in his explanation here. Rashi says, "Ve'ino yisin alointis she'ino lemashket some." It's not for one who is thirsty as a drink. Elo letzani nachar merchots v'dugmas refuah. It's to cool off after the heat of the sauna. Therefore, it has this medicinal aspect to it, and as we've learned many times in Shabbos, that matters that are of a medicinal nature are something that one is not allowed to engage in on Shabbos. Omar Rav Yosef. Now a little story to continue the Alontis theme. Rav Yosef tells us, Zimno chada olis boser marukfa lebei boni. There was, on one occasion, I followed marukfa into a bathhouse. Kinafki, when I exited, asoi they brought to me Ashkion Hamra Chad Kosa. They brought to me to drink one cup of wine. Hamra's wine. My assumption in this Gemara is because of the context that the reference here is to the Alontis, which in fact is made of aged wine but with other ingredients mixed in. So I was given one cup of this to drink. V'choshi mibinsa derashoi deroshi v'atufra dekaroi. And I felt coolness. Choshi is I felt, and this means I felt coolness from Binsa, the hair, the roshi of my head, until tufra, the karoi, until the nails on my karoi of my feet, my toenails. The ashkin kosachrin, if I would have drank another cup, havoi mistafino, I would have been afraid, dilma menaku li mizuchusa di almadosi, for fear of losing merits with regard to the world to come. What does he mean by that? That means that a second cup would have posed such a grave danger that if I would have been saved from it, it would have been some type of miraculous salvation that might have come at the expense of my merits and reward in the world to come. The Gemara asks, "Vor Mar Ukva the Shosi Kol Yoma." Mar Ukva drank from this every day, and nothing happened to him. My impression is that it's the Gemara is asking that Mar Ukva didn't limit himself to one cup. It seemed that he was kind of a regular with this drink. So the Gemara says Shiny Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva is different. The Dosh Bey, he is such, in fact, a regular. Dosh Bey means he's so regular with it, so that his body develops some type of strength to withstand whatever effects the Alontis has. The Mishnah. Ein shorin es achiltis beposhrin. Achiltis is a type of substance. Rashi gives an Arabic word and a French word for it. And it was a substance mixed with water, and people would drink it with warm water mixed. And it was drunk for healing purposes, for refuah purposes. So the Mishnah says, "Ein shorin es achiltis beposhrin." One is not allowed to soak or add the lukewarm water to the chiltis. Avol noisein l'soich achoymas. He can take the chiltis and add it to vinegar, and use it as a food dip. The ein shorin es hakarshinen. This section of the Mishnah deals with the issue of borer, of separating the desirable from the undesirable, the good from the waste. So, ein sholin es hakarshinen. Karshinen is a type of vegetation. It might very well be something like in the legume family. One is not allowed to soak it. And the sholin is soaking it, and through the soaking of it, the shell sholin, Rashi says, massively in Mayim Bekli, was pouring water over them, and that would cause a separation between the kernel and the shell or the debris. So that is not allowed. The lo shofen oison, and one is not allowed to rub these by hand, because that too will remove the psolus from it. Aval noisein l'soich hakvora or l'soich hakalkola. One can take a bunch of karshinen and put them in a kvora as a sieve, or in a kalkola in a basket. And while pouring them into the basket or the sieve, there will be a separation of debris. But the point here is that to do an active action of separation, that's not allowed. But if in the course of moving it from one spot to another, there is this separation, as when you put it into the sieve or the basket, so some of the debris will fall through the holes, that's okay. Ein kovrin es hateven bekvora. One is not allowed to, tevin is straw, And so one's not allowed to put the straw in a kvora, a sifter type device. Nenu agavi mokom gavoa b'shvil shiyerid hamotz. Nor can one put the straw on a high point so that the motz is a section of the grain plant that animals do not eat, that even animals won't eat. So that one's not allowed to put the stalks of tevin, of straw, on a high place so that the motz falls away. Aval no tail hu bekvara v'nosein l'tocha evus. One is allowed to take the straw and put it in a sieve and then carry it to the trough, the evus, the trough. And in all that movement, there will be a separation of the motes, of the unedible, the inedible part. But it's happening like by the way, and not as a result of a direct separation action. So the spirit of things here is that when things are indirect, it's allowed. Rashi classifies this as a dover shein miskaven. It's not an act of intentional separation. My action of placing it in the kvora and then carrying it to the avos is primarily an act of moving it from one spot to another. That's allowed. It's animal feed, and animal feed is mutter to move on Shabbos. In the course of all this movement, so the debris that falls away is in the realm of something that was unintentional in the sense of dover she'ein miskaven, and therefore it's okay. Ibaya laho shora mai. Regarding the chiltis, the Mishnah opened up by saying one is not allowed to soak the chiltis. Let's say someone did do that. So as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see two approaches. That's why we see numbering here. Number one, Tirgama Rav Ada Narsha, Kameder of Yosef. Rav Ada Narsha explained in the presence of Rav Yosef, Shora Chayav Chatas, one who soaks the chiltis in lukewarm water on Shabbos will be guilty of a Torah level violation. Amale Abaye, upon hearing this, says, Elameata Shora Umtsa B'maya Ochi Nami De Machayev. If one takes some raw meat and puts it in water, are you going to tell me that he's guilty of a Shabbos violation? That can't be. Ela Omar Abaye, Midarabonon Shliasek Der Shoise B'chol. Abaye explains that the prohibition of the Mishnah of preparing the Chiltis on Shabbos is simply to avoid doing something on Shabbos that you would ordinarily do during the weekdays. So we don't want you doing what's called Uvda D'chol. Preparation of Chiltis is something, as we said, is characteristic of a weekday activity. Don't do it on Shabbos. We are constantly striving to create an impression that Shabbos is different than a weekday. And in fact, the basis for that is a posuk from which we learn that, and we've learned this earlier in the Masichta, that the way one walks on Shabbos, the way one talks on Shabbos, all these things should be done differently. We continue in the Gemara. Bo'aminei, Rabbi Yochanan, Mei Rabbi Anai, Mahu Lishros es Achiltis B'tzonein. Till now, we spoke about the prohibition of soaking it in poshrin, in lukewarm water. So here the Gemara is asking, what about preparing it in tzonein, in cool water? Amalei Osir, Rabbi Anai says it's forbidden. The Gemara asks, why not tonight? But from our Mishnah, you would get the impression that it's allowed. Our Mishnah says, Ein shonis achiltis b'poishrin. The prohibition is preparing it with the lukewarm water, habit sone mudder, but the inference that is drawn from that is that in cool water it would be okay. Amalei, Rav Yanai responds. Before we go into this further, just let's go over the back and forth here. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rav Yanai a question. Rav Yanai gave him an answer. And for some reason, Rav Yochanan wasn't satisfied with the answer. He went on to ask on Rav Yanai again. So Rav Yanai now responds, sounds a little sarcastic. He says, Im Kain, if you didn't like my answer and you're asking on it, ma bein li valoch, then what's the difference between you and me? You don't have to, if you have all the answers, so to speak, what are you asking me for? So Rav Yonah goes on to say, you're asking from our Mishnah, masnisin yechidohi, our Mishnah is a shitas yochid, is an individual as opposed to a majority opinion. It's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi that we will see. Tesanya, we have a source that says, Ein shorinus achiltis lo b'chamin v'lo b'tzonein. No soaking of chiltis is allowed whatsoever, not in warm nor in cold water. Rabbi Yossi omer b'chamin also b'tzonein mutter. We dashed underlined b'tzonein mutter to show you that the inference that one would have drawn from our Mishnah, like Rabbi Yochanan suggested, would conform only to Rabbi Yossi. And that's why Rav Yanai ruled otherwise, because Rabbi Yossi represents an individual opinion alone. L'mai avdile, what does one prepare this chiltis beverage for? What's the purpose? Answer, l'yukro d'liva. For a type of ailment, Rashi says, shelibo koved olav. Literally, his heart feels heavy in him. I don't know if it would be translated as something relating to angina pains or something else, but clearly it's a remedy of some kind for something affecting one's chest. Rav Acha bar Yosef, here as we go on in the Gemara, just note that we have a long marking to the side of the Gemara. You can see we've written in Maisa and encircled it, indicating that this is an incident that lasts a number of lines. So Rav Acha bar Yosef chosh biyukra delibo, he experienced this syndrome of yukra delibo. Also the kame de mar ukva, he came to mar ukva malay zeal shosi tilsa tikli chiltasa betlosa yomi. Go and drink, shosi drink tilsa tikli. It's three measures. Tikla literally is a mishkal, is a weight. Rashi says mishkal gimel zehuvim. There was a known measure, in this case three zehuvim is the name of the measure. Zehuvim literally is gold. It could very well be some type of the weight of three gold coins. But that amount of chiltis bitlosiyomi over the course of 3 days. Ozal ishti, so Rav Acha, who was suffering from this, went and drank chamisha b'shabato, mali shabato, on a Thursday, on a Friday. Those are the first 2 days he drank it. Litzafra, Friday morning, Ozal, or the next morning, he went and asked, Ozal shal bei midrasha. It's now the next morning, it's Shabbos morning. He went and asked, Omrulei, tana debei rav ado, the amri lo tana debei mor bar rav ado, Shoise odam kav o kabayim v'eino choshesh. But we didn't emphasize in our explanation, but Shabbos, as we alluded to before, is problematic with regard to remedies. So he went to question regarding the chiltis and Shabbos with regard to refuah. So he went to the Beis Medrash to seek out an answer, and they told him that a person is entitled to drink. Shoise odam kav o kabayim. These are measures and amounts. The Eino Choshish doesn't have to worry. Omar Luhu Rav Acha said to them, Lishtos lo komabayali. The issue of whether I'm allowed to drink it or not is not something that is a question to me. It's obvious that I'm allowed to drink it. Ki komabayali lishros mai. My question is, can I prepare it? Omar Luhu Rav Chia bar Ovin. Rav Chia responded, B'didi hava uvda, an incident happened with me. In other words, I was suffering from yukra d'libo. I started drinking the chiltis, and I needed to make some on Shabbos. V'asoi shilte l'Rav Ado bar Avo, v'lav b'yoda. I went and asked Rav Ado, and he had no answer for me. V'asoi shilte l'Rav Huna. I then asked Rav Huna, v'omar hochi omar Rav, and Rav Huna told me what Rav says, shoyre b'tzoinen u'meniach b'chama, that he is to soak it in cold water and place it in the sun. The Gemara asks, this ruling, Kaman Deshari, is this a ruling like Rabbi Yossi, who was a Shitas Yochid, who gave some room of for allowance? You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow a few lines up, and you see the reference that we just made to Rabbi Yossi. So is Rav giving me a psak like a Shitas Yochid, but the Rabbonin would not allow? So no, the Gemara says, that's not the case. Afilu lemando osar, even according to the Rabbonon, who argue with Rabbi Yossi that forbid the preparation even in cold water, that's where the person didn't start drinking before Shabbos. But here, where he started the medicinal process, the drinking of the chiltis already for the last 2 days, Chamsha Umali Shabbat on Friday and on Thursday and on Friday, Ilo Shosi B'Shabbos Mistikin. If he doesn't drink from it on Shabbos, he will be endangering himself. So, as we know, one is not expected to subject oneself to danger in order to keep the laws of Shabbos. So, since there is a sakona issue for him, even the Rabbanan will allow the preparation of the chiltis. It's very interesting how this Gemara reminds one of different types of medicines that we are familiar with today. That if you start taking this medicine for a couple days before, you cannot stop in the middle. The stopping of it would lead to something dangerous. So you see the sensitivity of the Gemara already many, many years ago to this phenomenon. We continue in the Gemara following the slash mark that you see with a new topic. The reason for the slash is to show that that which follows is not related to that which we have been learning till now. On the side, under our No Say heading, we've written Kiskus V'Libun Begodim. Kiskus has to do with rubbing, and Libun is whitening different kinds of clothing. We'll mention a Kisnisa. Kisnisa is a type of shirt or article of clothing one wears on his body. And a Sudra is a turban, a head covering. The Gemara. Mistamech V'Ozil Rav Acho Bar Yosef. There might be a name tie-in to the Gemara before. It just struck me now as we're learning the Shiur together. And that is that we had a story that the previous Maisa involved Rav Acho Bar Yosef. So here we have another story involving him. So Rav Acho Bar Yosef, mistamech means he was relying on the shoulder, akasve is on the shoulder of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Rav Acho was in this particular case, an elderly individual, and he needed the support of someone in order to get from place to place. So he was walking along, resting on the shoulder of Rav Acho Bar Yitzchok, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Bar Achtei, his nephew, and as Rav Acho's nephew, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok was the bar, the son of Achtei, of the sister of Rav Acho. So it's a nephew. Omar Le, Rav Acho says, Ki matino lebei Rav Safra, when we get to the home of Rav Safra, Ailino, bring me in. Ki motu, when they got there, Aile, he, Rav Nachman, brought Rav Acho inside. Bo mine, Rav Acho asked, Mahu the kiskusi kisnisa b'shabata? May one rub a shirt made of linen on Shabbos? That's the action that he's asking about. And before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the Rashi. Five lines from the bottom, at the end of the line, the kiskuse kisnisa. Rashi says, choluk ksonas, shirt made, choluk ksonas shel pishton, that's a garment made of linen. Pishton is flax is the raw material for linen. Shiniskapsa, it was this this garment, this linen garment was washed, went through the wash. V'harehi kosher. And after you take it out of the wash, it's hard. U'mishafshifo bein shtei yodov. And a person will rub it. This is not, of course, not on Shabbos in general, Rashi is saying. A person will rub it between his hands. V'hi misrakha, and it becomes soft. V'af alibun shelo matzil, and it becomes also shinier, whiter. Al yedei hashifshif, through the rubbing, its whiteness increases. So Rav Acha asks, can one do this, the rubbing of the kisnisa on Shabbos? There are two sides to the question, and we've noted them with an aleph and then O Dilma Beis. O Dilma we squiggle underline because it's a transition point between the two sides of the question. In rubbing it, is his intention simply to soften it? And softening the garment does not present any Shabbos problem, and therefore it would be Shabbir Domi, it would be all right. Or is the intention of the one who rubs this linen garment, is one's intention to increase the whiteness of it, and that would be forbidden on Shabbos. Omarle, Rav Safra says, L'rekuche komechavin v'shabir domi. People who rub freshly washed linen garments, their intention is to soften, and therefore it's okay. Kinofik osa omarle, my boy, mor mine, when Rav Acha walked out, came out of the presence with Rav Safra, so the nephew, Rav Nachman, was there. He asked his uncle, what did you ask of him? Omale, so Rav Acha said, boy mine, mali kiskusi kisnisa b'shabata. I asked of him, what is the law regarding the rubbing of the ksoines, this shirt, linen shirt on Shabbos? The omale, shabir domi. And he answered me, that is Rav Safra answered me that it's okay. So now the nephew asks his uncle, and he says, v'tiboy le lamor sudra, why did you not ask of him the question of rubbing a sudra? The sudra we explained earlier was a we call it a turban. Sudra lo kol miboyali. So the uncle, Rav Acha, says to Rav Nachman, that is not a question to me. Deboyi me Rav Huna poshitli. I asked that question of Rav Huna, and he answered me. He answered me that it's forbidden. So that I don't have to ask about the sudra. So the nephew asks, well, if you got an answer regarding the sudra that it's forbidden, v'tifshit lei lamar mi sudra, why didn't you, on your own, draw a conclusion from the case of the sudra to forbid the rubbing of the kisnisa, the shirt? Omarle, Rav Acha answers why he didn't draw that conclusion. Hasam mechsi ki alode chivra. In the case of the turban, a person is it's very important for the owner of a turban for it to be very white. And the whiteness of a turban is something that's more pronounced. Rashi says at the bottom of the Rashi commentary, Shemakbid alibuno v'tsoharo shalsudu yosumikis nisa. A person is more concerned about the whiteness of a turban, so that when one starts rubbing the turban, it's obvious that is his intention to create the whiteness. Hacha lo mechsik lo de chivra. However, here by the kisnisa, the goal of whitening isn't so obvious. Therefore, there's still room for leniency, and hence I didn't draw the conclusion from the sudra, a conclusion of strictness. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new marking. The diamond is featured, and under our Mivneh heading, we indicate these are Memros Shel Rav Chisda. The list is quite extensive, but you see that only as you continue to Omid Beis. Many, many, many comments of Rav Chisda. It's actually very interesting to point out that earlier in the Masichta, we learned about, we saw the son of Rav Huna being asked by his father. Rav Huna asked his son, why is it that you don't go to study by Rav Chisda? And the son of Rav Huna said, why should I go study by him when he, in his lectures, he says, he shares all kinds of, we'll say, advice for good living, but not actual Torah content. All kinds of, Rav Chisda would say in his shiurim, all kinds of good ideas, as we just said, for good living, for quality life, etc., but not something that relates directly to the realm of halachic practice. Upon hearing that, Rav Huna says to his son, well, all the more reason to go to study by a man like that, that in addition to the basic Torah that he will impart to the students, you will also learn ways of good living. And here, in honor of the fact that there are so many Rav Chisda comments, and they all concern issues of good living, so we thought it was beneficial to tie this into the Gemara we had learned a number of Dapim ago. So, structurally, we see a lot of comments made by Rav Chisda will be coming up, and the topic that we will immediately study is featured on the side under the Noseh heading, Shlifas Beged, the removal of an article of clothing, Me'al Kona, from a stick, or a rod, a reed, Shenitan Olov Lin Nagva. The garment was placed on this stick for drying out. And now it's Shabbos, and the question is the removal of the garment from the stick. The problem with the stick is that it's just a mere piece of wood. And wood, mere pieces of wood or branches, they were they're reserved for fuel purposes. Here, the stick was used in this particular case for holding the garment, but the issue of moving a stick on Shabbos gets involved with a problem of muktzeh. So the Gemara continues, Omar Rav Chisda Hai Kisnisa, we just finished mentioning Kisnisa in the context of the rubbing of the garment. So we have, again, this garment, we'll refer to it as a shirt. Mishalfo, the removal of it, Ledido mi kanyo shori, kanyo mi meno osir. In terms of removing this shirt from the stick, so Ledido mikanyo means if you manipulate the shirt and remove the shirt from the stick, then it's okay. However, to reach in and pull the stick out of the garment, that is forbidden. And the reason, as we said, is that to do a direct movement of the stick is forbidden because the stick is muktzeh, as it is reserved primarily to serve as fuel. Omar Rava v'im kli kiwi hu, if the kona, the rod on which the shirt had been placed was a rod used by weavers, kli kiwi or weavers utensils, so if it was a weaver's rod, then mutter. The reason for that is even though weaving is something that's also to do on Shabbos, but it at the very least it has a kli, a utensil status. A branch that you simply throw into the fire to serve as fuel doesn't have a utensil status, and therefore its movement is totally forbidden. However, a vessel, once something has a vessel status, so the movement is allowed. And of course, if you're dealing with a kli shel nachta l'isur, so there are certain restrictions, but at least as far as we're concerned here, it's less severe than the case of the simple non-kli status branch. Omar Rav Chisda, hi, kishto diarka. On the side, there's another girsa that's found in the Oroch, the Ehutza diarka. Yarka is a vegetable. Here we're talking about some kind of growth that comes with the vegetable. It could be a stem or a branch that's associated with the vegetable. Ichazio lemachol behemo shorlu tutuli. If this is something that an animal would eat, then you can move it around. The ilo osir. If not, if even an animal wouldn't eat from it, so it cannot be moved around on Shabbos. Once again, it's a muktzah problem. It's something that has no vessel status nor food purpose. Omar Rav Chiyo Bar Ashi, Omar Rav Hai Talia. There is a machlokus between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Hananel as to what the Talia is. In fact, according to the Rabbeinu, according to Rashi, you probably would want to read the Gemara as Talia de Bisra. But for our purposes, the using Rashi's pshat, it would be a string of meat. It's an amount. Rashi says, Talia de Bisra, it's Bosar Moliah Hatolu Liabsho. Umlo Hachevel Kori Talia. So it's a rope's worth of raw meat, raw salted meat that has been hung for drying purposes. So Rav says that a Talia de Bisra, Shori Litotule. It's mutter to move it around on Shabbos because meat is at times eaten raw. So it has relevance to the realm of food, and therefore it's within the realm of that which can be moved around on Shabbos. However, the kavri, the same situation, however, involving fish that you have strung up, raw fish that you strung up on a rope to dry, that is also to move on Shabbos because it's something that's not eaten raw. As we pointed out, the Rabbeinu Hananel has a different take on this, and he explains the Gemara, the Talia de Bisra is a reference to moving the rope, not the meat on the rope, but the rope itself without meat on it. Rope that was used for hanging meat as opposed to rope that was used for hanging fish. And rope that was used for hanging fish, the Rabbeinu Hananel points out, is exceptionally repelling, and therefore it's muktzah. It's a muktzah machmas mil, something that's repelling, disgusting. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Katina, ha'oimed be'emsa hamita, kilo omed be'kreso shel isha. Exactly what this line of Gemara is doing here is something that, as of this point, is not 100% clear to me. But we'll translate it all the same. Rav Katina says that one who stands in the middle of a bed that a couple usually sleeps on, a man and woman couple that sleep on that bed, it's viewed as if he's standing on the belly of the lady, and that's an expression meaning that it's a situation that will cause the person who's standing there to think about the intimacy of the couple. Let's make it clear, the couple is not there now, it just happens to be a bed that they use. But this fellow who's standing on the bed, knowing with his knowing that it's a bed used by a particular couple, would cause him to start having thoughts of their intimacy, which is obviously something that's very incorrect, not it's prohibited. The Gemara, however, says Valav Milsahi. The Gemara rejects Rav Katina's stringency and says it's not something that one really has to worry about. There's nothing wrong with some outsider sitting on the bed that's used by a couple. The Omar Rav Chista. We go back to the Rav Chista series, and here we have a new marking. We have double underlined the Bar Be Rav expression. Topic heading that we have for this section of Gemara are Eitzos Shel Rav Chista, pieces of advice for Rav Chista Le'aniyim regarding the poor. Ech Lahafik Amirav Mima'at Kaspom. How to get the most out of their limited funds. And you can see the double underlining features the expression Bar Be'Rav. A Bar Be'Rav is a yeshiva student. A Bar Be'Rav is assumed to be someone that doesn't have much does not necessarily similar as much by way of financial means. So Rav Chista has a lot of pieces of advice. The Omer Rav Chista Bar Be'Rav Dezovin Yarka, a yeshiva student who buys vegetables, Lizvan Aricha. He should buy long ones. Kisha ki kisha. The bundles that are sold in the market are sold. There's a standard size of bundles, and the size that we're referring to is, like, let's say the number of, let's just use an example, the number of carrots that are stuck into a bundle is the same standard number. The urka memela, the length, though, when they're preparing the bundles, the length is not taken into consideration in forming the bundles, so that when you, as a customer, are buying the bundles, look for the longer ones. You'll be paying the same price as one would pay for the shorter ones, because in establishing bundles, as we said, a fixed number of items are put into the bundle, where the producers don't pay attention to the length. So you, the customer, the Bar Beirav, ought to buy the long ones, and you will simply be profiting, because you're paying the same amount that you would have paid for the shorter ones. The Omar Rav Chisda Bar Beirav Dezovin Kanya. In the same spirit of things, if he is buying a bundle of sticks, Konimar reeds, he's buying fuel. Lizvin Arich, he should buy the long ones. Tuna kituna. The bundles are made of a standard size, and in this case we'll say a standard thickness or standard number of reeds are placed in the bundles, and the price is established on a uniform bundle rate. The urka memela, and as far as the length is concerned, you will be benefiting by having more fuel, because you'll be having longer reeds. And as we said, it's the same price for the long ones as for the short ones, because the price is established by the fact that a certain number of reeds were placed in the bundle to begin with. The Omar Rav Chisda Bar Beirav Delo Nefisha Le Rifta, a yeshiva student who doesn't have a lot of rifta bread, Lo Lechol Yarka, he should not eat raw vegetables, Mishum Degorir. The nature of raw vegetables is that they increase one's appetite, and a person who will then have this increased appetite and not have the bread to satisfy himself with is just putting himself into this predicament. The Omar Rav Chisda, Ano lo banusi ochol achli yarka v'lo ba'asirusi achli yarka. Rav Chisda was a gentleman who experienced both poverty and later wealth. So he tells us that nor when I was poor, nor when I was wealthy, did I eat vegetables. Banusi, when I was poor, I didn't eat them. Mishom degora, because of what we just mentioned, it would have increased appetite. I would have had no means of satisfying myself. Ba'asi rusi, and when I was wealthy, I wouldn't eat the raw vegetables. The amino, I figured, hechad ayol yarka, in the same spot that would be filled with vegetables, leol bisro v'kavri, I might as well eat meat and fish. More, we'll call it either more desirable, more nutritious food substance. The Omar Rav Chisda Bar Beirav Delo Nefisha Le Rifta Lo Livtza Bitsui, a yeshiva student who doesn't have a lot of bread, that which he does have, he should not eat in small quantities. Rashi in Dibur Masul Lo Livtza Bitsui, in the upper part of the narrow lines, he says, he opens with a French word which indicates eating in small quantities. Lo yochal achshav me'at pas sheyimtza lo ulo acharshav me'at v'tnei she'ein lo derech zviya elo yitzarv v'yochal yachad. A person who has a small quantity of bread should not eat it in small units, but rather whatever he has, he should gather it together and eat it all at once. That way he'll experience greater level of satiety than otherwise. The Bach suggests deleting the next couple lines. After the parentheses section, the Omar Rav Chisda, Ano Meikora, I, before I became wealthy, Lo Havoi Batsana, I would not eat bread, Ad Shadoi Yodi Bekule Mona, Vishgakhi bay called Sorchi, until I checked out all my vessels to make sure that I had enough to satisfy me. And as we said before, this would seem to support the idea of, if you have little means, gather together all of the bread that you do have and eat it at once. The Omar Rav Chisda, we have a new marking that highlights the expression Haiman de Efsher. You have two statements that have this theme to them. Rav Chisda says, Haiman de Efsher le lemechal namo desari. One who can get away with eating barley bread, the ochal dechitian, eats wheat bread, which from the context it would seem it's a more expensive type bread. Ka'ovar mishum bal tashchis, he's in violation of wanton destruction. In other words, if you can get away with eating something less expensive, why are you just wasting your money, you're burning your money on something more expensive? V'omar Rav Popa, Haiman de'efshu l'mishti shichra v'shosi chamra. Rav Popa, who we should point out parenthetically, was a beer manufacturer. So Rav Popa says, one who can get away with drinking beer and opts to drink wine, again, from the context it would seem that it's something more expensive. So over mishum bal tashris, he's simply ruining or throwing out his money and buying wine when he could have drunk beer and that would have provided him with whatever, with the same satisfaction. The lav milsi, but regarding this, the Gemara rejects this and says that bal tashchis de gufa odif. Let us assume that that wine is more beneficial, or the beer has greater, hurting or injurious elements to it. So that if it's a matter of saving money or like not being guilty of wasting money versus not being guilty of ruining one's body, so better to preserve your body in a more, healthful state than trying to preserve your money at the risk of your health. The Omar Rav Chisda, Bar Bei Rav, the less lay mashcha, a yeshiva student who has no mashcha's oil. People in the time of the Gemara, you find this in many places, would, after their meal, they would rub their hands before the mayim achronim, and the oil would help to remove dirt or debris from the hands. So one who doesn't have the oil, nimshi b'maya d'charitzi, he should wash with water, that's basically stagnant water, water that accumulates in crevices, charitzi or crevices, and that water usually has what the Rashi calls yirakroikis, a green thick substance, might be associated with algae that starts growing there, and this green thickness in the water has the same effect as oil. The Omar Rav Chisda, Bar Bei Rav, the Zovin Umtza, person again of limited means, a yeshiva student that is buying meat, Lizvin Unka, he should buy neck meat, the Is Bei Tlosa Mine Bisra, that when you buy a hunk of neck meat, you are going to benefit from three different types of meat, and Rashi enumerates them: there's shomein, the kochush, the gid hatzavor. Shomein is fat meat, kochush is lean, and gid hatzavor is another aspect of neck meat. Gid is often associated with sinews that are there, and apparently it's something that people would eat. So in buying one hunk of meat, you're getting three different types of meat in there. The Omar Rav Chisda, Bar Bei Rav, the Zovin Ki Tunisa, a yeshiva student who is buying a shirt. The Ki Tunisa we saw in our Gemara a little earlier, a linen shirt. Lizvin Mi Dinahar Abba, buy from that place called Nahar Abba. The pishton, the flax that grew there, were of a superior quality. And Rav Chisda also now tells you how to care for it. He says, "V'nichvara," literally whiten it, might probably wash it, kol talsin yomin, every 30 days, "de mifatya lei Tresa Yarchishasa. By doing this, the shirt will last you for a full year. Tresar is 12 Yarchi months of the Shos of the year. Vano Arva, and I guarantee it. My Kitunisa, what is behind this word? What's in this word? Kito Noe. We glance at Rashi, Kito Noe, Kas Noe. Kas is a group of people, a pleasant group. Ru'uya lehoshiv balel, but Kas Noe. A person who owns this kind of garment, so he deserves to be sat amongst an important group of people. It's probably seems to be an article of clothing that is of distinction. The Omar Rav Chista Barbe Rav Lo Lesiv A Tzifsa Chalata, a person who has limited means, a yeshiva student, should not sit on a new mat. Tzifsa is a mat. It's a reed mat. Chalata means new. The reeds that when they're new are still damp, and the dampness, the mechalio money, mechalio is to destroy or ruin money, his clothing. The Omar Rav Chista, Barbe Rav lo lishdar money lushpiza lechivrei le. If a Barbe Rav is a student, he is a traveler, and he's lushpiza, he's in an inn. He shouldn't give his garment to the innkeeper to wash for him. The lav orach aro. There's a lack of, we'll say, decency or a lack of propriety. Dilmo chazi be midi. The innkeeper, in receiving the garment to be washed, might notice on it. If you're dealing with a male, it might notice some semen, some male emission on it. The osi lemigna, and that will cause a certain type of repelling between the innkeeper and the Barbe Rav. So as a matter of propriety, the suggestion is don't give your garment to someone else, in this case to the innkeeper, to wash. Omar Lehu Rav Chista Lebinsei. Rav Chista, in this section of Gemara, is addressing his daughters. Parenthetically, one of the famous daughters of Rav Chista was the wife of Rava. She actually was the wife. She had been married to Romi Varchama and then to Rava. So Rav Chista mentions to his daughters, Teve tzniosan be'ape gavraichi, you should practice modesty in the presence of your husbands. Lo sichlu namo be'ape gavraichu, don't eat bread in the presence of your husbands. The Rashi explains that sometimes you'll end up, if you're eating bread, you might end up eating a lot. And for a woman, a married woman, to consume a lot of food in the presence of her husband is something that will, Rashi says, v'tizgane olav, and that will cause a feeling of being repelled. A repulsive feeling could develop. Lo sechlun yarka balela. And another piece of advice is don't eat vegetables at night. It's a reason for creating bad breath. Lo sechlun tamri balela. Don't eat dates at night because that causes a buildup of gases. Velo tishtun shichra balela. For the same reason, one should not drink beer at night. And again, this would be repulsive for the woman to pass gas, to pass wind in the presence of her husband. Velo tiflun hecho demafni gavraichu, and don't relieve yourselves where your husbands are. Now, Rashi has a couple of approaches to this. Rashi says hecho demafni gavraichu. Begilui bifnehem basodos. As we've seen in other Gemaras, the bathroom facility was not that which we are so familiar with, but rather people would relieve themselves in the in fields. Might as well say in the open fields. So Rav Chista is telling his daughters that they should not relieve themselves in front of their husbands when they're in the fields. Rashi goes on to say vafilu shelo bifnehem, even if it's not literally in their presence, but nevertheless, Shemakir Makomo Umakomchem Vinim Eses Lo Bezochro. In other words, if the woman relieves herself in a place that the husband will eventually relieve himself, he'll be reminded of of your having been there in this capacity, and that will cause a sense of disgust. Continuing, v'chi ka in the Gemara, that is, v'chi ka kori abova inish, when someone knocks on the door, on your door. Again, Rav Chis is talking to his daughters, so he tells them, lo seimrun monu, don't say who is it in the masculine form, ela moni, but rather say it in the feminine form. Again, it's an incredible sensitivity to the realm of modesty, that a woman shouldn't be speaking in the masculine form, addressing other people, other men. Nokit, now this line of Gemara is, if you just look at the Gemara without the Rashi, it would appear to be very obscure. We will read this line of Gemara and make the following point, that Rashi elaborates on this in a, and the realm is a, the realm involving the actual act of intimacy. So, for those who are interested, one is advised to look in the Rashi to gain maximum benefit of what the Gemara, what Rav Chisda is telling his daughters. But Rav Chisda is advising them in how to behave during the act of intimacy. So he says, Nokit marganisa b'chada yodei, v'kura b'chada yodei. Hold the marganisa, and again, this is a Gemara that's in a code form, it's in a modest form. Rashi is more explicit, and as we say, look in the Rashi for his explanation. But we are going to go through the Gemara on a translation level, and he tells his daughters to hold the marganisa in one hand and the kura in the other hand, b'chada yodei. What a kura is, Rashi has a couple of approaches. One is a type of, it's a kur tzorfin. It's a device used in purification of gold. And a loshen acher is bor. Bor shochas, a pit. So hold in one hand the marganisa and the kur in the other hand. Marganisa achvi lahu. The marganisa present or show to him. The kura lo achvi lahu, the kura don't show or present to him, ad demitzta'aron, until there's a sense of strain or pain, v'hodar achvi lahu, and then present it to them. For further details, we cite the Rashi. We continue in the Gemara, though. Ein shoylin esakarshinin, and the Mishnah went on to say, "Avol noisein l'soy hakvora." One is not allowed to pour water over the karshinim, which would cause a separation of the debris from the kernels. But rather, one can take the karshinim and put them into a sifter and carry them to the trough. Masnisin delo ki haitana. Our Mishnah that says you're allowed to put the karshinim into the kvora. The kvora is a sieve type vessel. So the use of it, at least, is putting the karshinim into this sieve vessel, is something that the following Tana would not hold by. Desanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Ein mashgichin b'kvora kol ikar. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says one is not to use the kvora whatsoever. So our Mishnah represents a leniency over the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Just for the sake of accuracy, we mentioned something that wasn't 100% accurate. The Mishnah did not speak about bringing the karshin into the trough. That was something that was mentioned later in the Mishnah in the context of the tevin, the straw. The Mishnah. Gorfin milifnei apaton. Before we continue with the Gemara and the Mishnah, the Gemara, we just glance at the side under our no say heading. We've written tipul b'maychol behemo b'evuso. We're going to talk about the care of animal feed with regard to the trough. We're going to talk about grera se'evus, the cleaning out of the trough, and silo kateven, the moving aside of straw when there is an overabundance of it there. The Mishnah. Gorfin milifnei hapatom. girlfriend is to scrape away or to push away from in front of the pot. And the patom is a reference to a, literally it has to do with fat. Even the word patom, you can see the word fat in there. It has to do with animals that are fattened up. So for our purposes, though, we can say it's referring to an ox. So one can move away, sweep away from in front of the patom. What are we talking about here? We're talking about sweeping away debris from the to the, like, sweep the debris away, the debris that is on the bottom of the feeding trough, so that the food that you place in it won't mix with the dirt and repel the animal from eating. Umesalkin litstodin. The second point of the Mishnah, Rashi explains, Umesalkin teven milafonov litstodin shu rav, when there is a lot of hay in the feeding trough, kidei shelo yidrusenu berei. The fear is that if there's a lot of hay in the trough or in the stall, so it will get mixed up with the animal waste, so as to prevent trampling on the animal waste, so you're allowed to move the straw off to the side. We continue in the Mishnah. That is Divrei Rebbe Dosa. The Chachamim Osrin. The Chachamim forbid. The Gemara will analyze what exactly are the Chachamim prohibiting. The Mishnah continues, Noitlin milifnei behemazu v'noisin lifnei behemazu b'shabas. One can move from in front of one animal, the food, remove from in front of one animal the food, in order to place it in front of another animal to eat. The point here is that one should not fear that the second animal won't eat from food that was in front of the first animal. If that would be the case, then you're doing what's called a tiltel shelo letzorch. You're moving something around for no reason. So the Mishnah preempts that thought by telling you the second animal will eat from that which you serve it or present to it after having been in the front of a prior animal. As we mentioned earlier, the Gemara here asks regarding the Chachamim's position, what are they prohibiting? The Mishnah had mentioned, and our markings helps to emphasize that there were two things. There was gorfin, lifnei patam, that had to do with moving or sweeping out debris from the feeding trough, and misakal stodin had to do with sweeping aside hay so that you won't end up trampling on hidden waste that's in the abundance of hay. The Chachamim forbade, Ibai Eloho, Rabbanon Areisha Pligu, Aseifa Pligu, Atrabayo Pligi. The Gemara asks, are the Rabbanon who forbid arguing on the Reisha regarding the sweeping of the trough, or on the Seifa, which regards the sweeping aside of the hay, or on both are they arguing and saying both are forbidden? Ta Shema. So the Gemara says, we're going to bring a proof that both are forbidden. Desanya v'chomim omrim echod ze v'echod ze, both the grefa se'evus and the sweeping aside of the hay. Echod ze v'echod ze lo yisalken l'sonim. Don't move it to the side on Shabbos. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a structural note. We see Roman numerals 1 and a few lines later 2. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, we indicate these are Shnei Lishonos Begrefas Evus Umachlokes Rebdoisiv Achomim. We saw in the Mishnah Machlokes regarding the sweeping out of the trough, we'll make reference to an Evus Shel Kli, a vessel that serves as a trough, and as Evus Shel Karka, Rashi explains that is an area of ground that's been fenced off, a fence built around a certain area, a plot of ground, and food is placed in on this within this fenced area. That's a Evus Shel Karka. When you're dealing with when you're dealing with ground, the earth or ground, as opposed to a vessel, there always arises the fear of what's called ashvi gumos, of filling in holes. So that if you're involved with sweeping debris from the ground, you are involving yourself with that problem. And Ashvi Gumos gets involved with the problem of an Isser of Bone or possibly another Av Malacha. Let us now continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Chista, we call this Roman numeral number one, the first version. He says, Machlokes be'evus shel karka. The Machlokes, Rav Doisa, and the Chachomim involves the sweeping out of the Evus is an Evus shel karka, the ground feeding area. Avol be'evus shel kli, an Evus that's a vessel, even the Chachomim will agree you can sweep it out. The Gemara asks, would anyone allow the sweeping of debris from ground, from earth? In doing so, you're smoothing out the ground and filling up any holes that might be there, and that's strictly forbidden on Shabbos. If Rav Chisda is saying anything about moderating the machlokes, thusly it is. Omar Rav Chisda, machlokes be'evus shel kli. There is a Tanaic controversy between the Chachomim and Rabbi Dosi regarding sweeping of a vessel that is serving as the Evus. And the Chachomim's restriction is based on a gezeira. We don't want you sweeping out the vessel because you might come to sweep out an Evus shel karka. Avol be'evus shel karka divrei kol oser. But as far as sweeping ground that's used as serving as an Evus, everyone will agree that's forbidden. V'noitlin milifnei behema. Tani chada. Now, before we go on in the Gemara, we should note we have a topic heading and a structural note. So the topic heading, hazozas mozon milifnei be'mazu lebehema acheres, the removal of food from one animal and presenting it to another animal. In the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, we'll see we have bow ties. These are shnei brisos sheniros soisros. We're going to see two Tanaic sources that appear to be contradicting one another. The shuvam al pi haGemara, and then the Gemara's resolution. The Gemara, Tani Chada, one source says Noitlin milifnei behemo shapi ha yofe, v'noisin lifnei behemo shapi ha ra. You can take food from in front of an animal whose mouth is pleasant and place it in front of an animal whose mouth is unpleasant. The Tanya idoch noitlin milifnei behemo shapia ra, v'noisin lifnei behemo shapia yofe. Just the opposite of the source of source number one. Omar Abaye, EDVED, both sources are referring to the same thing. Both sources are referring to Makami Chamro, Lakami Tur Shaklinon, Makami Tur Lakami Chamro, Lo Shaklinon. Both sources tell me that you can move food from in front of a donkey and bring it and serve it to an ox. The other way around, you cannot do it. In simpler terms, we're saying that food that was in front of a donkey is something that an ox would eat from. The question now is, if that's what both sources are saying, they are saying you can take from a donkey and put it in front of an ox. The question then is, why in one source is the same animal referred to by two opposite expressions? The donkey is called Pio Yofe in one source, and in the second source, it's called Pioran, likewise with regard to the ox. So we have to explain that the terms Pio Yof and Pio Ra apply to both animals. The question is, in what aspects? The Gemara explains, V'hadikotoni, noitel milifnei be'emo shepio yofe. Source number one that says you can remove food from in front of an animal who's pio yofe, and we said that means that's a reference to a donkey. Bechamor, the chamor is pio yofe, has a pleasant mouth, the less lay riri, it's an animal that doesn't salivate. So that after a donkey eats from food, it doesn't deposit all kinds of saliva that would be disgusting to the next animal.
And therefore, it's fit to take from the donkey to give it to the ox.
V'noisin lifnei behema shepiyoi ra, in that source number one, it said you can take it from the donkey who's piyoi yofen, put it in front of the ox. The ox is called piyoi ra, is bepora, a cow or an ox, the is lo riri. That's, now we're at the top of kuf mem aleph amud aleph. The cow is an animal that produces a lot of saliva, and that would cause the food to be disgusting. Hence, we understand why you wouldn't be able to move the food in the opposite direction. The donkey won't eat from it. Now, source number two that says, again, bearing in mind, both sources talk about movement in the same direction, from donkey to ox. So source number two describes the donkey as piora. Why is that? It's bechamor. The donkey is called unpleasant mouth. The lodayik viochil. It eats everything. It's in terms of not what comes out of its mouth, but rather what goes into its mouth. It eats all kinds of thorns and thistles. So in that sense, the donkey, it's an all consumer. It's therefore called piora. The nason of nei bema shepio yofen, and then put the food in front of the cow or the ox, who's piyo yofen, but pora, the dike of yochel, the pora is more fussy, restrictive, or finicky in what it eats, and it's more selective, we'll say, and therefore it's referred to as piyo yofen, because regarding that which it takes in, its intake is yofen, insofar it does not consume thorns and thistles. But just to review, the main point here is what one is allowed to do on Shabbos, to move food from the donkey to feed the cow, and the cow will eat from it, and therefore it's considered a tiltal, a movement that is litzorach, that has a Shabbos purpose, and hence it's allowed. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.